escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Home ownership continues to be the cornerstone of the American dream. But for many people, that dream appears to be out of reach. I'm WBBM Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart, and we talk about housing affordability and some things you can do to make the process less intimidating with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group, on this weekend's edition of At Issue.
For joining us today.
I love being here. Thanks so much.
Well, the housing affordability of affording your own home is one of those issues that will never go away. Regardless of the economic environment, regardless of where interest rates are at, everybody has a story about how they purchased their first home, and they have a story about saving up for that first home, fixing up that first home, discovering problems when they move in. Some people deal with double-digit interest rates. You know, we live in an interesting time now as far as housing affordability is concerned. But how does this era stack up with previous challenging eras for homeowners, first-time or otherwise?
I think that's a great start to what we're actually dealing with. I mean, you talk about interest rates back in the 80s when they're double digits, right? I mean, we came from these 16, 17, 18. And, you know, my first career was a loan officer. And, you know, refinancing somebody that was 18 and I get him to 11 or 12 or maybe even a little bit below that, and you looked like a rock star. Now, with interest rates being 6 and 7, we would kill for those right now. But realistically, the folks that are actually at 6 and 7 are frustrated. And it's just crazy to think about that. But I get it, because, you know, maybe they missed it at the time when they could have gotten it at 3 and 4. But what that challenge is today now, though, is there's so much difference in that these people that want to now sell their house and buy a house, they can't do it because there's not enough inventory out there to do it. So it's like, well, do I sell the house I have, or do I just stick this out, put some money into it, and kind of move on and just deal with what we're about to see?
Now, you talk about how there's just a lack of inventory out there. You know, what is the current state of the Chicago housing market, and how does the city stack up to the suburbs? Like, where can you find the best deal?
Yeah, I mean, right now, it's a seller's market. There's no doubt. And what is a seller's market? A seller's market is easily defined as when there are more buyers, but more people that want to buy houses than there is inventory out there. So the sellers have an opportunity to, you know, their house is a luxury item at this point. I mean, they can raise the prices on it. So the prices are going to go up on those houses, and the buyers are now going to pay a premium for those houses. City of Chicago, though, in comparison to, you know, nationally, right now we're kind of still a little bit lower than what's going on across the country. The suburbs, you can find affordable housing. I say affordable housing, but you can find housing that is affordable in the suburbs. Because the taxes, I mean, you talk about the taxes in the city of Chicago, in Cook County, for that matter, versus the collar counties where some of the taxes are a little bit less, you'll actually be able to find some houses that you can rehab and do fixer-uppers on in the suburbs more so than you would the city. So you really have to do your homework today. Working with the professionals and doing your homework is really important as well.
When we talk about that first home that people purchase, and I think some of the frustrations that people have as far as finding that affordable first home is starting to bleed out into maybe some false nostalgia online. You see these pictures of, and it's always artwork too, pictures Oh, here's a family in the 1950s, and you know, the dad worked in the box factory and he was able to afford this house for his entire family and you can't. And you think to yourself, well, back then, if you were buying a home in a one income household, it was a Georgian, it was a Cape Cod, it was all of these very kind of smaller homes you see in maybe the bungalow belt of Chicago, yep, or in inner ring suburbs, or was a small ranch or a small split level. Yes, it was a detached single family, mm-hmm, home. And yes, it was affordable by the standards of the day, but it was also very tiny compared to what people expect today.
Oh yeah, I think that people's expectations certainly has gotten greater as times have gone on. And really, you speak about affordable housing, first time housing. You know, the kids today coming out of school with this college debt, you come out of the interest rates are high. You know, it's really difficult for these kids to get themselves, you know, qualified to have a loan for a house. So what they're forced to do, and we know they're not, is be handy. And they're not. The generation that's coming up, they want the houses that are turnkey. You walk in and it's done. I don't even want to paint the darn thing. And I get it. You know, I understand that that's a luxury item. That's a gift if that's what you want to do. But I think lowering those expectations, looking at houses that may need a little bit of work, or even tempering your areas, because, you know, everybody would say, well, I want to live in Burr Ridge, I want to live in Oak Brook. That's great if you can afford to do that. But realistically, the first-time home buyer should be looking in areas that are more affordable. They're maybe they don't have all the amenities. Maybe you have to take public transportation to save some money. You don't have to have a car. So I think there's a lot of things that you know, the buyers of today need to think about that they didn't last, you know, yesteryear. We were happy to have that city bungalow in Evergreen Park or in, you know, Mount Greenwood, because it was an area that, you know, your neighbor's house was the same and it looked nice and it did the job. But now I think there's this competition that goes on, and it's, you know, look at my house and the bigger is better. And I'll tell you, the bigger is not always better.
It's interesting you mentioned that people want to go out to the suburbs, because in my mind, this year, 2025, represents the 20th anniversary of me moving back to Chicago from Milwaukee. I grew up here. I got a radio job, you know, back in the city. This was a time when every 5 minutes there was a loft conversion or a new condo building was being built in the South Loop. It was always next year in the condo, yeah, at like 18th and Michigan or something, mm-hmm, like that. Does that still exist today? Is your condo your first step into the world of building home equity in Chicago these days?
Yeah, that's so funny, because I did the exact same thing. I started out in a condo and I realistically, as you were speaking that, I'm going, he's looking into my soul. And I laugh, because it's such a generational step. You start out in that condo, you build some equity, you sell the condo, and you have now a down payment because you've paid down that mortgage, and you go on to, you know, accomplish the American dream of home ownership. And realistically, today, I think it's just a lot more scattered, and it's I don't think they do that process of what you and I did, because I had the same goal and wish that you did, is getting a condo down here in the city. And I did. I lived down here for a handful of years, lived at Harbor Point, and looking at that going, well, this is insane, because I can't go out to the burbs and find anything that is going to be less than this. This is a lot of money already. What am I doing? I went backwards. And so I understand that, you know, the luxury of big city living and the conveniences. So that's what you have to determine. And really, I think truthfully, people's jobs really dictate a lot about what they're going to, you know, where they're going to live and where they're going to go. There's just a generational challenge about traveling. I don't want to be that far from where I work. I want to be able to get to it quickly. I get it. That's fine. But understand that with those things come some other sacrifices. And you know, I think that word there, sacrifice, is a key word to this whole conversation, because our sacrifice was we're going to buy a condo and then we're going to go into the house. And then if we have our forever house would be that bigger home that, you know, we migrate to.
For me, being an adult, the concept of adulting to me back then was you're on the Metro platform at, 7:30 in the morning, 7:45 waiting for that train. So for me, when we actually did buy the forever family home, I thought, well, it has to be on a Metro line. So right. So I can have that Bob Newhart walk into work every day where you get off the train and go to the office, then get back on the train and go home. And then COVID happened and that model of going to work every day disappeared.
Right. Right. And I had the same dream. You know, my dad was an attorney who for many years took the train, came into the city. And, you know, I, as a young kid watching that was my expectation is, you know, I'm going to drive to the train, park the car and, you know, off I go. And then when I got into the business world of doing that, I went, well, this is for the birds. I don't need to do this. I could do this out in the suburbs. But then further, you know, COVID hits and it totally changed. And for us in the real estate space, it probably 5X'd our world. We grew 5 times faster than we had to because we had to adapt and adjust to those changes and those modifications that happened because they came on hot and heavy. And in order to compete, in order to actually stay afloat and do the business, we had to be available and people working from home was convenient and it was simple. But oddly, we were a necessary party. We were not somebody who had to stay home. We were necessary because people wanted to buy houses. So I found that to be quite interesting. And my office hates me to this day because we were necessary. But, you know, we learned and we grew. And I think we are who we are today because of what happened. And I'm the old fashioned guy that goes, I got to see your eyes before, you know, I'm not going to let you work at home. I got to see your eyes. It's just a way I operate business and the team. And we love it.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking about housing affordability with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Let's talk about COVID-19 because it was very disruptive in the real estate space. It really turned the real estate market upside down. It turned a lot of people into on-paper millionaires overnight all of a sudden because of housing, the rapid housing price appreciation. And, of course, a lot of homeowners refinanced into 2% or low 3% mortgages back in 2020. But let's go all the way back to March of 2020 when the economy began to shut down, when everyone realized, wait a minute, this is serious. Before the real estate market took off like a rocket, what were your first impressions of how it was going to impact real estate, not only in Chicago, but across the country?
I really was kind of, we stared at each other for those days around, you know, the big shutdown and kind of went, what does this really mean? And I think that when the kind of dust settled and I actually just realized that, are people actually going to, you know, communicate like we used to? Are we going to be in front of people and closing deals like we do? Are we going to, how are we going to conduct business? What does this look like? And it was an incredible anxious moment for us and me, you know, being a business owner to sit back and say, okay, let's ride this wave because we did it during the 2005 and, you know, 6 crash and kind of, you know, didn't know what that was going to look like and survive that. And that became a market that, you know, people were flipping homes and that whole, you know, menagerie was incredibly different. And then COVID hit. So I kind of just trusted that, you know, the American people and especially real estate drives us. And, you know, that is one of the investments that has always been solid for the period of time that, you know, if you invest in the stock market, you'll probably make 8-9% pretty consistently. If you invest in real estate, you're going to do the same, if not better. And it's another one of those consistent things that you can just count on. So real estate still drives America. And I knew that it wasn't going to be something that was going to stop to a point where we were not going to do any business at all. It was just, how is it going to look? How are we going to come out on the other side? What's going to be different? And I still think we're answering that question because there's still nuances that are still continuing to happen. But I'll tell you, it really educated us and it really made us kind of be on top of our toes to do it.
Was it April and May of that year when you started to realize, wait a minute, this is going to be a lot different than we anticipated, that You know, there were, first off, let's not minimize it. A lot of people lost their jobs in 2020. With public facing jobs or service jobs or just people who were caught in the middle of all the economic disruption. A lot of people were unemployed in 2020. However, there were also a lot of people who saw who found themselves flush with cash because they weren't going on vacation. There were a lot of things that were budgeted, but they couldn't do. So as a result, they
escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fixed up their homes. They refinanced their homes. Or they decided, look, if I got to work here, I need a bigger space.
Right.
And once the real estate industry figured out how they could do things contact free, it seems like that is when the gold rush began.
Yeah. The American people showed that, you know, they're very resilient, and we're definitely people who try to, you know, dig deep and figure it out. And I think that was certainly a time where you knew that the people that were going to be capitalizing on opportunity, we're going to capitalize on opportunity. The people that were struggling, we're going to struggle. And then the other portion of the people that were kind of, I'm not certain what's going to happen, and that was the majority, they kind of fell into one of those spaces over a period of time. It was kind of like the roulette wheel and the ball going around. It's like, I'm going to fall in one of these slots as this thing slows down a little bit. And I think that was really what it took time. The entrepreneur mindset, really, they went out and capitalized on an opportunity. And you saw that with all these COVID, you know, stations opening up where people can get, you know, tested and all those things. And people made a lot of money on that. But in the housing market, people that had, when the interest rates started to come down, I mean, absolutely, they refinanced anything and everything they owned, got the lowest interest rate, and, you know, they sat on this cash cow for a period of time. Because now, you know, they're paying off more of their mortgage. They're building their equity. People are buying houses with cash that, you know, it was amazing the amount of people who came out of the woodwork that, you know, had cash because they weren't going to banks for loans. And you're just like, where was all this, you know, 6 months ago? And it was just an incredible influx of a change of the way it was done before. And I think we started to see then everybody jumped on the refi bandwagon. And then it was just, you know, we couldn't handle the amount of business. We were so busy. Our team was working, you know, 16, 17 hour days to stay ahead of this because everybody was trying to capitalize on an opportunity. It's, you know, we're resilient, and we showed that.
Is that bell from the COVID-19 disruption in 2020, is that still reverberating? Is that still ringing throughout the housing market?
That's a great question. And, you know, it depends on who you talk to, because if you want to use it as an excuse, they will. They can. You know, I'm still suffering from COVID-19 effects and what that did to me. There are still people who, you know, they've lost their job, they've changed careers, and now they're doing something brand new, and they're still trying to navigate what that world looks like. So I guess it is kind of a conditional thing. But in the housing market, I think people have a false sense of hope that it's going to come back down to 3. It's going to come back down to 4. And you know, everything that I'm hearing, everything that our group and professionals around us are talking about, we have so much debt. We can't go to 4 again. We just, the interest rates, the national debt is incredible. So I think that we'll see it. It's at the 6 range. I mean, maybe we'll click into the 5s, but going back down to threes and fours, I just don't think that that's something that's feasible.
But that was also the way it was up until the housing crisis in 08. And then you had a practically zero interest rate environment for a decade,
right?
From 2009 all the way until they started hiking in 2022. That was the exception and not the rule. What we experienced for the last, coming out of the Great Recession, that was the odd man out.
Yeah. I don't think this is the norm. I think what we're starting to see over these last 18 months, you know, fluctuating between 6 and 7, I think that's more where this thing is going to end up and settle. I think that we need to, you know, embrace that and really just understand that, okay, I missed that 4 and 5. Okay. But 6 and 7 is not terrible. And it's just, but 6 and 7, when you've got $150,000 or $200,000 of debt for the first time home buyers, yeah, that's a lot. So, you know, where is it going to really, who is it going to really impact? That's the question I think everybody's really wondering is, who's it going to impact? Because unfortunately, the cost of homes right now far exceeds what our salaries are going up as. I mean, I know that I haven't, you know, increased my salary to the degree that these houses have gone up. So it's just, it's got to balance. And that's what's so great about the real estate market is, there's always these shifts and changes where it just shakes the whole bucket and everything kind of, you know, the sand is all level again.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Shelter costs have been one of the biggest drivers of inflation consistently in every inflation measure going back 3 or 4 years. And that has led to a lot of policy discussions for how do you address that. Of course, the big one that everyone's talking about these days is that book, Abundance. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically you build more condos, you build more apartments, you build more houses, you have more inventory for people to buy. What is your view on the ground of the available inventory? And do you fix that by just building more stuff?
You know, I'm an old guy who is interested in the craftsmanship of what the old construction used to be. You can't build what's out there already, especially some of this vacant and abandoned properties in the city of Chicago. Let's just take that as a small sample for this. To duplicate some of that architecture and that construction, it costs a fortune today. And these are small houses, like you alluded to earlier. These are city bungalows that are on, you know, 25-foot by 125-foot lots. They're not big homes. So there are so many vacant properties in the city of Chicago. I wish and I prayed that there was a program, that there was some semblance of government that would allow the reestablishment of what's already existing and start utilizing some of that inventory that's out there. Yes, some of it has to be fixed. Yes, some of it has to be brought to code. I get it. But we've got a lot of people that are looking for jobs. We've got a lot of professionals who are out there looking for jobs. I think these are really great opportunities for people to be put to work to reestablish some of these neighborhoods. And what does it do? I mean, it puts money back into the city's pocket because it puts the taxes back online. It gets the water people working again, the gas and electric. I mean, it creates opportunity. And I don't understand, but there are so many homes available in the city. So to go out and build more and take up more land and spend more money when you've got stuff that's sitting and existing, I think that it's, you know, my theory and my thought behind it would be, let's deal with what's there and let's put an emphasis on some of that and make a decision around it that way.
It's interesting, you know, how much real estate plays a role in the history of the city and where people live and why houses look the way they do. Because I live in an inner ring northwest suburb of Chicago, and a lot of it was built up after World War II. I mean, it was practically vacant land all the way out to mm-hmm. O'Hare. And then in the wake of the war, and everybody's coming back and they're making more money and yeah. They have the capability to buy that small house by themselves. So you do have a lot of Georgians and Cape Cods and those split levels or ranch homes. And before that, you have bungalows. That was mm-hmm. for a lot of people on the northwest and southwest sides. That was their entry into the American dream. You could even buy a house from Sears.
Right.
Out of a catalog.
I remember
that. And they would show up and they would build it for you. And there's still Sears homes all over the city. So every generation had their way of tackling that affordability issue.
Yeah. I mean, I just laughed because I want a $17,000 Sears home.
Who doesn't?
Right. I've remodeled those. I mean, my development company that I own as well, we've done some work inside of some of those. So, you know, affordability is what the term that is just getting tossed around all over the place. And I think it has so many different meanings to so many different people, because what's affordable to me may not be affordable to you, and vice versa. So realistically, the word affordability is got so many different meanings and so many different tentacles to it that I wonder if it's being overused in a way that is maybe putting some scare and some fears into some people. Because when somebody says the word, I want to make this house affordable, I want to make some affordable housing. Okay, well, what is that? Is that $300,000? Because that's not affordable to many people. So who is that? Who's your market? Who's your audience? So when you hear affordability, I think research has to be done. I think you have to understand some of the reasons and the whys behind some of that word affordability. And I think that, you know, doing seeking out the professionals and working with the people who are in the business, who understand what that really means, because it means a lot in the city versus in the suburbs, it's different. And in the rural areas, it's really different. So, you know, you can go to Peoria and buy a house for $20,000 today.
And that brings up another point, and that is not only just the style of house that was available to you changes throughout history, but it also explains migration patterns within the city, because I talked about my Bob Newhart fantasy about taking the train to work. But that was coming out of the war. It really did turn into the lifestyle outlined in Taking Care of Business by BTO, where if your train's on time, you can get to work by 9. And that was the way it worked for decades, where you had to have access to the expressway. You had to have access to the train. You had access to the CTA to get you downtown to your office.
Yep.
And then you would leave your office and then drive home or take the train home or take the L home. And that changed in the 80s, where people discovered you can work in a suburban office complex. Mm-hmm. You can work in Oak Brook. You could work in those office towers off of Cumberland. And people discovered you could live farther out and actually live a decent life. You're not in the car for 2 hours if you live in Plainfield or Plano.
Yeah. That's the big migration. First of all, nice job on plugging BTO. well done. That was the big push in, you know, late 80s, early 90s, was the migration into Plainfield and Romeoville, and the building and the growth that went on out there was incredible. And to your point, people recognized that, wait, I don't have to drive into the city to do the work that I'm doing. I can do it a little bit more locally. And, oh, look, there's a building popped up that I can put my office in. And, oh, look, another strip mall popped up and I can put my office in there. And that obviously led to the, you know, tons of strip malls that are now kind of vacant, because that's a whole different conversation. But at the end of the day, the reality is people took a realization to saying, I don't have to do this 12 or 14 hour day with the commute and everything. I can do it a little bit more locally and still get the job done and just bring my office from the city out here and, you know, conduct business that way. But that was like something that was unheard of, because again, our parents, they went to the city. My dad did it every day. I wanted to do it. I'm crazy saying that out loud that I wanted to do that, because I don't want to do that. And it's just, I'm working from, you know, 7 minutes from home right now. That's outstanding. So I think there's those conveniences are really what people are looking for when they're buying homes or they're looking for areas to move into.
With obviously there's a trend going back towards the office, maybe 4 days out of the week or 3 days out of the week. And some places are back to 5. But given everyone's comfort level with work from home, and that the number of people who work from home consistently is way higher than it was in 2019. Is that the next migration pattern, where instead of finding a place that's proximity to where you work, that you can find a place because you work remotely?
Yeah. And that's, you know, as I watch this next generation, as I start hiring this next generation, the you know, that's the question in the interview is 3 days from home or 4 days from home? I went, no, 5 days in the office. Thanks for playing. Like, you know, what are you saying to me? But you know, and then you've got the introduction of AI, because now, you know, there's a lot more things that can be done without the use of, you know, the human being. So I think that what we're, the migration is that we're kind of watching, and really even in the real estate space, is I think, and I'm hoping that there's still that need for the interaction for people to transact business and to, you know, conduct business, because as soon as you take the human factor and the human element out of this, I don't know what happens, and I don't know if I want to know what happens, because I've enjoyed so many of the relationships that we've built, and so many, there's something so great about watching somebody finalize that purchase of that home, and so even in the same breath of somebody selling that home, that it's been, you know, years of them trying to do it. So it's exciting for me to watch this, because I really enjoy that piece of it. So I hope the migration is to, you know, stay back in the office, but I doubt it. I think people are going to work from home.
Very small piece of advice for someone who's listening. They may be on the outside looking in, and they want to, maybe they're concerned about affordability, but their definition of affordability, sure. And they want to do something to make them feel comfortable. What's your advice to them?
I would tell you that you should go out and talk to your real estate professionals, whether it be a lender, whether it be your, you know, title insurance company or your attorney, and get yourself pre-approved to see what you can afford. That will define your affordability. If you go sit down with a mortgage officer and they will tell you, they'll go through your financials, and yes, it's uncomfortable, but you may think that you can't afford something, and in actuality, you can, because there's so many opportunities and there's so many programs out there that will allow you to do the American dream of home ownership.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group, thank you for joining us on this weekend's edition of At Issue. I hope you'll join us next weekend when we discuss the local job market and what you can do to get ahead. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.